My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey everyone! Oh my gosh! Happy Survivor 47 finale day!
Oh my god.
The finale is tonight. I know everyone listening watches Survivor.
Every single one of you.
Woo!
My sister and brother-in-law have been watching so much Survivor recently. I called my sister like 20 minutes ago and I was asking her a few questions and she was like, okay, I have to go. We're watching Survivor right now. They're watching the season with Dee and Austin. So,
Survivor 45, of course.
Literally, yeah. Yeah. But they've watched like the whole new era in like 2 weeks.
Good for them. Then you have their priorities straight.
And that's what I said.
They know what's what right. They know what's up.
They're feeling, they didn't like Emily at first, and now they're lukewarm to her. And I said, you'll get there, queens. You'll get there.
And that's the season 45 experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Is watching the premiere and going, I won't be happy until she's off the show.
Yeah.
And then crying when she gets voted out.
No, seriously.
Emily Flippin, I'm so obsessed with you. You are the best.
Forever famous. Oh, seriously. I love you, Emily. My sister texted me that she didn't like her, and I said, you take that back. I literally couldn't even deal. I was like, I love Emily.
No, she's incredible. She's the best person on that season. I love her so much.
I do too. God.
And I really want her to come back. Yeah. And I think that she's someone that production would ask to come back because the fan response to her was so strong.
Yeah.
And then at the end, so positive. But I remember at the time the season was airing, and maybe she's changed her mind. But at the time, she said, I don't regret going out, but I would not go back because I had really prepared myself for like what being out there would be like. But I was not prepared for what it airing on television was going to be like. And I don't want to go through that again.
Boy, howdy. I hear that.
I mean, the hatred towards her was loud after that first episode.
Yeah. I mean, I got the text from my sister just last week, you know, just a couple days ago. It wasn't even last week, but I totally hear that. That's another thing that keeps me from like having any sort of Survivor dream at all is I can't hack that. I definitely could not hack that. I think Survivor fans especially are nasty, freaky nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
But Survivor,
I'm excited for tonight. Who do you want to win?
Who do you think, babe? Rachel.
Of course.
Rachel all the way.
Well, of course. When Andy went home, I did pour one out for you specifically.
Oh,
I know you loved Andy.
He is my Emily Flippin of Survivor 47.
Yeah. I like
and
Andy
I've been
too.
An Andy truther for a long time.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
There was that moment. It was like when he flipped on Rachel and Annika. But I was like, he's onto something.
You said, this kid is cooking. Let him cook.
Yeah. Let him cook. He's got some ideas.
He was spooky out there. It was good. He was making money moves too. And if he didn't, I was watching that last episode and I was like losing my damn mind. I was like, you are nailing in your own coffin, dog. You could have flew under the radar for much longer than you think.
And isn't that just the way that Andy goes home?
Oh, yeah.
Pitching to another player why he should win the game. And then the other player being like, I literally wasn't going to vote you out because I didn't think you were a threat. But you make a good point. You are a threat. So I'm going to vote you out now.
And Rachel being like, you were really convincing in a way you don't want to know about.
Oh, my God.
It was so awesome. That episode was fun.
I am sad coming into this finale. Rachel has been the person I've wanted to win for like the last 5 episodes.
Yeah.
And I still want her to win.
Yeah.
But I wanted Jen to still be around because like...
I agree.
It's less fun when the finale is just a coronation, you know? I like want there to be some competition where it's like, I want Rachel to take it, but like Jen really could take it as well. But at this point, the only way that Rachel doesn't take it and watch this air and then 12 hours later, we're fully wrong.
Yeah.
But the only way that Rachel doesn't take it is if she loses fire in my mind.
I also think like they, I don't know. That could happen. And then do you think like Sue would be the one to take it?
No, I think Sam takes it. I think Rachel takes it. And if Rachel is
is a worst case scenario for me. I just don't like boys.
Oh, I love Sam. I really like Sam.
I like Sam a lot too, but I also really liked Sierra. She had the best Philly accent. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with the Philly accent.
No, she was cool. No, I'm a huge, frankly, of the final four. I think they're all cool.
Yeah.
I just think Rachel is deserving of the win by 10 miles. And then like, if Rachel is no longer there, much love to the other two. Sam is the only one left who like
has a grasp on what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Like teeny much love has voted for the person who didn't go home every single time, but once has only voted correctly one time in the entire game.
I'm obsessed with them actually though.
They are funny. And that's the thing is I'm like, if I saw Teeny, I think we'd be great friends.
Oh, totally.
But Diva, they have been lost this whole game.
I've been listening to Drop Your Buffs a lot, and Drop Your Buffs has been talking so much about like the Twitter response to Teeny and how everyone hates Teeny so bad for being a bad player. And they keep saying like, do you like, they were talking about Amanda Kimmel and they were like, Amanda Kimmel has been on so many seasons and she like wasn't a good player at first, but that doesn't mean that she's not like she like grew into a really great player. And then they said other things, but they were like, some of our favorite players of all time are bad Survivor players who just make great. And what are we watching? A television show.
Exactly.
You know, I love good TV. I love watching Teeny like laying down in the hammock, like rethinking every decision they've ever made. I love that.
No, I'm 100% in agreement with that. I'm looking for good television.
Yes.
And Teeny makes good television, so I'm a fan of them being on the show.
I agree. I like Sue, too. I wish I would have gotten more of Sue hating vegan...
Kyle,
thank you.
The moment that I was like, I do like Sue as a TV character, but maybe I don't want her to win anymore, was when she was... when it's the montage of her trash talking Kyle, and she goes, and do we have to keep hearing about him being poor? And I was like, oh my gosh, Sue.
She's
it's a game for $1 million.
I know.
If he needs the money, he's gonna talk about it.
Exactly. And he's doing it for his family, dude.
Seriously.
I have love for Kyle.
Sue, much love to Sue, but Sue like is a pilot, clearly makes a lot of money.
And, like, owns a flight school as well.
Yeah, owns a flight school. Kyle's just like some kid who I frankly don't know a lot about Kyle, much love. But he's like some kid from, I'm pretty sure, a small town who's just like out there to make some money for his family.
I know.
And Sue's like, can he shut up about being poor?
He keeps calling me Tweedly D and Tweedly Dumb. And I'm like, girl, he said that maybe once. Maybe. I know. Oh, man, bring back people. I just like, it's so tough seeing lawyers all compete for $1 million. I'm like, you guys don't need it. You guys don't need it. I want to see family guys, like family people who like just want to make money for their family.
Kyle also in his exit interview with Rob's sister Nino was like, yeah, it's weird because like on the island, I thought Sue and I were friends. That he watches the show and she's like, I can't stand Kyle.
I do like it though. Something that Drop Your Buffs has talked about recently is Genevieve's whole thing where she's talking about like, how she wanted to connect with people and then she decidedly didn't want to connect with people and then decided that she was missing out on something, not connecting with people. And they've been saying like, it's okay if you don't want to connect with people. It's okay if you go out on the island and you say like, honestly, all these people are assholes and I don't care to like be their friend. Like they were saying something like that. So I do appreciate Sue having, you know, I don't know, loud feelings about someone just thinking about what they said on the podcast. I love it.
Yeah, no, it made great TV. Sue makes great TV. She does. Hates that Kyle won't shut up about being poor. She also, much love, has never washed her face once the entire time she's been on the island. Diva is out there looking like Oliver Twist. What's going on?
If I cannot get behind that. Maybe it's just my sensory issues, but I'd like live in the ocean, like scrub a dubbing. It makes no sense to me.
That's what's crazy to me is I'm like, beyond cleanliness, it's Fiji. Why are you not in the ocean? I'm sure it's hot as crap out there. I loved that clip. The editors were so dirty for putting this in.
They were dirty.
Of Sue face caked in dirt. Like she just is Jean Valjean walking through the sewers in Les Miserables. And she looks to Caroline, clean face, and goes, oh, you have something on your face.
She's like, oh, you got to wipe, there's dirt.
The editor who found that clip was like, I just found the Holy Grail. This is the funniest thing that's ever happened.
Now, do you think it's that she is just like consistently getting super dirty? Or do you think she is like specifically like doing...
Yeah, like trying to exfoliate.
Like makeup. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it could be
both.
In my mind, she's just not a swimmer. Like in my mind, she's just not a swimmer. She doesn't go in the water.
Yeah.
But she might be like trying to contour a little bit. And if she is, I respect
more power
the game.
Her. Yeah.
But it's not working.
She's got good bone structure anyway. Like yes. I do see like a clear like contour line on her cheek. Mm-hmm. Which makes me think it's that. And then I do see it sometimes like on her like eyes.
Yeah, giving herself a little shadow.
And the nose. The nose could be anything though. Girl, it makes me laugh though. The filthiest person on Survivor ever. Is this like, oh my gosh, it really makes me laugh.
I kept seeing tweets that would have images that were supposed to be representing the season. And they would have Pigpen from Charlie Brown as Sue. And those always made me laugh.
I love that. She is so Pigpen. It's a lose-lose situation. I know that like they, you know, bathing is probably so difficult and like one of the last things on your mind when you're out there. But
that's the thing is I don't think that at all.
I know. I feel like there's always like a group of girls like in the water well, like
exactly.
Hanging out, like using their buffs to like scrub.
It's summer. It's hot. You're on the beach anyway, and you have hours where all you're supposed to do is just hang out. People are always shown strategizing and talking in the water because it's right there. That's what's so weird to me is I feel like it would be second nature to just watch your face. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, everyone, my name is Ian Allred. I am a Rachel Survivor 47 winner truther. And if I'm proven wrong in a few hours, I will like, A, be sad, but mostly... be confused. I think that will be my main takeaway.
Yeah. I would really question the edit.
Every other person that was edited in a way that they could win has gone home at this point. So all this buildup with Rachel for it to just be Sam, as much as I love Sam, who knows? I'm also Gleek.
Hi, everyone. I am a... like picture Saul dressed really sexily on his first jury duty, the vest.
Yes.
That's me, and I'm a mini Gleek. So thanks for coming to 20 minutes of Survivor chat. Yes. That was crazy.
I'm gonna give you a little bit more. One of my favorite series of tweets was the episode when Saul showed up in the vest on the jury. Was the same episode where Teeny had the big confessional about their sexuality crisis and then their gender identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Saul showed up on the jury looking fine as hell, the camera cut to Teeny with a look on their face like, whoa,
like,
and all over Twitter, it was that screen grab with tweets like Saul giving Teeny another sexuality crisis.
Okay. So true, dude. So true. I love that. Looking good, Saul. I was sad when he went home. I liked him.
I was too.
And he was handsome.
Who would you want? It has been revealed by Jeffrey Probst that someone on this season has officially been invited.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who would you want it to be?
Oh, I bet Jeff would totally love for Andy to come on.
And he and I are just the same in that way.
I feel like Andy, like, you know, of course, I'm sure Jeff knows what's going on the island in like a way. I don't know the guy, so I don't know. But I'm sure watching the season back, he's like, that guy is my kind of player. He's like just the kind of player that I think Jeff would really be into. So I bet it's him.
Yeah, I think it's between him and Jen.
Yeah. Oh, I could totally see it being Genevieve as well, especially with like Genevieve's plot of to connect or not to connect. Mm-hmm. And he wants the scene as 50 to be real kumbaya vibes.
Yeah.
Which
is why
I'm looking for people who are hungry for vengeance.
And that's why I want Andy, is because Jen is like cool, calm, and collected.
Yes.
I love Genevieve and I would love to have her on another season. Mm-hmm. But the reason that Andy takes it for me is Andy has that element of chaos where it's like literally anything could happen and he could tank his own game. Like he's
talk
such
himself
a loose cannon.
Into a hole. Yes.
Exactly. And that's what I want. That's like, I love a Survivor player who is such a loose cannon that they could potentially ruin the best laid plan or they could create the best laid plan. And like that's thrilling television to me.
Yeah. Me too.
Ugh.
I'm excited.
We'll see. All right. Let's move off of Survivor for a bit, shall we?
Sure.
Should we dip our toes in Glee?
Sure. Okay. I've heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard of it too. I heard there's a whole podcast about it. Should we read this email?
Yeah, let's do it.
Booyah, booyah. We got an email here from Charlie. Hi, Lena and Ian. Listening to your Alfonso Stands Only episode, part two, while redoing 2 days of work of a final. Currently 11 p.m. and I have the exam tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I would love to give you evidence on how Glee is so stupid for doing the slushy plot in the Michael episode. It is so stupid and would never pass hospital rules. That being said, I texted my mom at 11 p.m. at night just so I could get this advice. Quote from my mom, who is a nurse. Quote, yeah, that wouldn't go at blanked out because it's the hospital she works at. This is how it would go down. First, we would take the said patient, Blaine, into a bright room where we can actually see the damage without having to do any immediate surgery, especially if it were a scratch to the cornea. Depending on how bad it looked, we would either A, go to immediate surgery, or B, help clean up as much as possible and give the patient medication to numb the pain. Then we would have to question the patient. Charlie stepping in here, pretty sure Blaine wouldn't lie. And if what you said happened in that show of yours actually happened, the guy would have to legally tell us the truth. So yeah, whether the guy in the show was in surgery or just got medical attention, he would be questioned at the end of the day. End quote. So explain that, Glee. Not sure if that's how every hospital does, but yeah, Blaine would have to be questioned about the damage to his eye, and knowing Blaine, he would tell the nurses or doctors or police that Sebastian and the Warblers caused this because he's been attacked before. Why would he keep silent about that? Especially when he could do something. It also makes me so sad that Kurt went along with the taking the high road bullshit, like, hello? Kurt, hey man, your boyfriend is literally in the hospital / recovering at home, and he has no say in this? Immediate breakup for fucking real. And usually I'm such a Kurt stan. Anyways, enjoy listening to the podcast while doing this last minute final. Hope I pass. From Charlie, they, them. Charlie,
you're going to pass.
You're going to pass. And this already happened. This is passed.
Yep.
And you passed.
You passed.
Congratulations. You passed.
Your professors told us.
We just got off the phone with your professors before recording this. And they're like, can you please tell Charlie that they passed? And we're thrilled to be making the announcement.
Congrats, Charlie. Proud of you.
Charlie brings up a great point beyond like that this isn't how hospitals work. Specifically, that the Glee Club all decided we can't report this. We have to take the high road. We're not going to fight fire with fire without ever consulting the person who actually got rock salt thrown in their eye.
Oh my gosh,
Gay
totally.
Blaine Anderson.
Gay Blaine. I know. I mean, I feel like if it was me, I'd want vengeance. Like, avenge me, you know?
Yeah, and also, as we've said a million times, is it really vengeance? To be like, you assaulted me, and I'm just reporting the assault.
You're right, yeah.
It's not like I'm going to throw rock salt in your eye.
It's also like, just like Charlie's mom said, like, that's just the order of things. Like, if you come into the doctor with, like, funny wounds, they're going to ask you questions about how it happened. And if it looks nefarious, people are going to get involved.
Yeah.
And that's just the order of things.
So Barry Allen, you're going to prison, babe.
Watch your back.
Watch your back.
Because you're going to prison.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Well, Lena, I don't know if you've ever looked at a calendar.
Once or twice.
But 1 week from today is a special little holiday. It's a little underground. It's up and coming. Mm. You maybe have heard of it. It's called Christmas Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We should talk about it.
Let's do it. Do you have any fun like Christmas memories that come to mind?
What's like, if someone were to tell you name one Christmas that you've had, what would we say? Whoa, the first one that came to mind is really dark. So,
oh yeah, I know. I know immediately where your mind went to.
I mean, I already mentioned this next week in our Christmas episode. There was a Christmas that my family spent with one member of my family, not only in the hospital, but also comatose. And we didn't know when she was going to wake up and in what state she was going to wake up in. Yeah. And that was a dark.
Yeah.
That was a dark Christmas. I remember we were living in an empty apartment, sleeping on air mattresses, and then had like camping furniture.
I remember that. I remember your like coolers that you were sitting on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was rats living in the apartment, and we had like candy from Christmas in our closet. And the reason we found out there were rats, one, because I fully saw one. I was in the kitchen watching WandaVision.
Oh, yeah, that was WandaVision time. Yeah.
It was WandaVision time. In the kitchen at 2 a.m. and I saw a rat run across the ground. I was like, oh, no.
And like a rat looking for a food.
There was candy in my closet from Christmas, and there was a hole ripped in the bag and a ton of the candy had been eaten. And the rats had like crawled into my closet while I was sleeping. Mind you, I was sleeping on an air mattress that was on the ground.
Yeah.
That was crazy. But I remember that Christmas, just a lot of like my family watching the Boris Karloff Grinch and trying to pretend like things were normal and not really knowing how much Christmas was appropriate to celebrate.
Yeah,
and it like felt inappropriate to celebrate Christmas, but then it also felt inappropriate to act like it wasn't Christmas.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
You?
What about you? I'll do a happier one next.
I remember the Christmas that my family we talk about all the time. I can't remember when, but I remember I got an iPod Nano for Christmas.
Oh, heck yeah.
And it was orange and it was engraved. And it said, there's a song that was my dad's ringtone for me forever. I don't know who it's by, but it's like, it's called Just You and Me, Punk Rock Girl. I don't know. So you call me Punk Rock Girl, but it said Just You and Me, Punk Rock Girl on it.
Oh,
love
my
Dad.
Gosh.
I know. But the drama is my sister was so, she's 2 years younger than me, so pissed. Like immediately upset, immediately sad, like immediately like angry and crying. And she's like, why does she get one? And then like my mom, she just went, if we're going to do this, Christmas is done. Christmas is done. I'm going to go back to bed. I'll talk to y'all later. It's like, it like hurt my mom's feelings so bad that she went, okay, cool. If that's how we're going to do it, I'm going to walk away and we're not going to open the rest of the presents. And it was so crazy too. I can't remember like how it resolved, but we like reconvened later and we had like a chat and we were like, okay, like, how do we navigate these feelings of jealousy when our siblings are opening things? But then my sister, like, two presents later, she got an iPod Touch. So, like, she had one on the way. So that was the year, we always say, that's the year Aubrey ruined Christmas.
Also, boss move on your mom's part.
Yeah.
For not being like, you have one coming, but yeah, straight up just being like, if you're going to make a stink about this, we're just not going to have Christmas.
Yeah. It was crazy. And we were like, are you kidding me, Aubrey? I can't remember exactly like what happened, but I do remember it being like, Christmas is canceled. I'm going to bed. I'll see you later. It was crazy.
Dang.
Wow. I know. Isn't that nuts? I have
a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you believe in Santa?
I didn't. That's such a great question. I didn't. Well, I'm sure I did at some point.
Yeah, but
I
remember, like, who remembers really, when you really, were like 2 years old, you know?
Well, of course. I mean, I remember my parents were never like big Santa people. And I don't know if it was like any reason other than like my parents bought the presents, so they wanted the credit. And so Santa always brought us stockings. So he brought us the stockings and the candy and like the new toothbrush and, you know, the stuff that would go in our stocking stuffers. Like that was from Santa, and everything else was from the parents. So he wasn't like a, it wasn't like a, like Santa's gonna, like it wasn't just a huge deal in our house. But I remember being, I must have been in like first grade. But I remember being in the back of my mom's car and being like, Mom, I don't think Santa is real. And I don't remember if it was someone had said something to me or someone must have. But she was like, well, Alina, like, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, I don't think he's real. And she's like, well, yeah, he's not real, but like the Christmas spirit is real and a lot of kids do believe in him. So I think it's for the best that you don't tell other kids, but that doesn't mean that, you know, Christmas isn't still magical and that the spirit of giving isn't a thing that we should celebrate. So it definitely wasn't like a traumatic thing, but I remember I like
boss move from your mom. She runs Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
She handles that holiday very well.
She's a boss. But yeah, so I don't remember it being like traumatic in any way. I just remember asking my mom a question and her being like, well, what do you think? And then us having like a pretty nice discussion. Similarly, she handled the talk really well. And similarly to that as well, where she was like, well, what are your questions? And then like really like, I don't know. She's really good at that kind of stuff.
I literally remember the talk. Mm-hmm. Erin, my sister, mm-hmm. was going on a band field trip to Disneyland. The bands at my middle school, they would compete in like a competition in Anaheim every year. And so the band would go to the competition and then go to Disneyland the next day. And my dad was the chaperone for the field trip. And I was tagging along because my mom was out of town for some reason. So, like, I was too young to be home alone for that long. So I was just tagging along with my dad and staying in his hotel room and yada, yada, yada. So my dad, it's just me and my dad in the car because Erin is on the bus with the band. And we are about to spend 6 hours together. And then my dad's like, we have to talk about something. Oh. And then gave me the talk.
On the bus?
In the car. No, it was just me and my dad.
Oh, yes.
But we were locked in that car for 6 hours.
Yeah.
He gave me the talk in that car, and I couldn't go anywhere. And I, a lot of kids.
You roll out of the car like Lady Bird?
Truly. A lot of kids had already, like, pieced a lot of stuff together. Mm-hmm. When I tell you this was brand new information.
Oh, really?
I was a very naive kid.
I hear you.
I had no idea. I, like, had heard that sex was a thing.
Yeah.
I had no clue that it and birth were related.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
No idea. And I had no, I honestly think that I thought sex was just, like, you just, like, rubbed up on each other. Like, I didn't know that, like, anything was going anywhere. And I also genuinely, this is, whoa, we're revealing a lot about my naivete as a child. I also thought that sex was like a bad thing that no one was allowed to do and was a sin in any scenario.
Yeah. I thought something similar.
Mm-hmm. The whole like Mormon sex outside of marriage thing was lost in translation to me, where it was just like sex is bad always and should never be done for any reason. So then when I found out that it's literally impossible to have a baby without it, I was like, so wait a second. This isn't what I let it leave. But I remember the whole day in Disneyland. Anytime I saw a pregnant woman, I looked at her and her husband.
And slut shamer. Like,
I know what you were up to. Disgusting. I hear know that. What you were up to. It like really grossed me out.
I hear that. I very similarly, I remember my talk came in phases where I was really like interested in like periods and like puberty. And I wanted to know like why like deodorant was a thing. But I remember, I also remember Crossroads starring Zoe Saldana and Britney Spears. They make a big deal in the first like 20 minutes of the movie that Britney's character is a virgin and she wants to lose her virginity before she graduates high school really bad. And then she backs up. She like decides it's not for her. And I loved that movie so much growing up, but I really, that was kind of lost on me for a while. But then I remember the word though. I was like, what the heck does virgin mean? And I asked my mom, I was like, what does virgin mean? And she's like, oh, it's someone who's never had sex before. And I was like, oh yes, slay. So does that mean you're a virgin? And she, because I immediately in my mind, I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't had sex.
Well, you're a good person. Exactly. You're a good person. Of course you've never had sex.
Exactly.
And she went, no, I'm not. And I was like, no, please don't tell me it isn't so.
Because like, I also tell me that my mother isn't a virgin.
Literally. Oh. And I was like, what do you mean? And then she told me that in order to have children, you have to have sex. And I was like, you mean to tell me you've had it three times? And it really rocked my world. The Mormon guilt in me, it went deep.
I remember being so confused as to why it was like escándalo that the Virgin Mary got pregnant out of wedlock.
Yeah.
So I was like, Diva, not her fault that God just decided to give her a baby before she got married, which of course like is what that story is like not her fault. God just like made her pregnant. But in my mind, that's what happened to everyone. So I was like, well, like,
it's just your time.
Yeah. It's not her fault that she wasn't married yet. It just happened.
Totally. I totally get that. Like all pregnancies were immaculate. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's so funny. I was like a really curious kid. So I just had lots of questions.
Opposites.
And my mom was very level-headed and like ready to answer my questions whenever they came. So she didn't have to ever sit me down.
And that's the deal, is my mom had a rule that she would never lie to her kids. So if we asked her something straight up, she would answer.
Yeah.
So like for Connie, she found out where babies came from when she was like 6.
Yeah.
I literally, my parents had to sit me down and be like, so you don't fucking care apparently, but like you need to know this.
Hey, like, and
it
good
is
for
imperative
them.
That you know this moving forward.
Good for them.
I remember on that car ride, because this is pre like everyone having an iPad pod. And also I was pretty young, so I didn't have an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad and I in the car after having the talk and me being like scarred, just emotionally traumatized. My dad said, well, do you want to put some music in? And the only CD in the entire car was The Best of the Andrews Sisters. And so we listened
I love that.
To the Andrews Sisters for probably 4 hours straight.
Can't listen to them the same ever since.
It's truly. I still do love the Andrews Sisters, though.
That's
but
awesome.
It is eternally interlocked in my brain.
That's the only CD you had in the car when you were going on a big road trip?
Because
that was like an integral part of our road trips growing up, is like the curating of the CDs.
I don't know how well you know my dad, but that thought did not cross his mind.
Sure, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah. He's not the personality to be like, so what are the jams going to be on this
You got to curate your jams.
Yeah.
You got to curate your jams.
Hey, and then when I was in high school, I was the one that was in charge of the jams. What we were listening to was Glee the Music Volume 3 Theatricality. No, Showstoppers. That's what that album's called.
I love that.
To the point that it then was banned in my car. We weren't allowed to listen to it anymore.
I hear you. Oh my God. CDs. Right. My high school boyfriend, he would always make me mix CDs. I still have a bunch of them like in a box. And he would like draw on them. It was really sweet.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff. Did you ever make anyone
a mixtape or a mix CD or a mixed playlist? Or...
I like, but God, it was such a weird kid. For my mom's birthday one year, all of us siblings, it was born from my two oldest siblings. They had the idea we were going to make my mom a mixtape.
Yeah.
And all of my siblings were putting on songs that like reminded them of my mom, mm-hmm. or that they knew she really loved when she was growing up. And then I'm not kidding. I was like, put the Flight of the Bumblebee on there. And I was like, y'all never heard of the banger Baby Elephant Walk? Put that on there. Like, what the fuck was going on with me?
Do you?
And I think.
Do you love your mom?
No. Susan, can you imagine you're listening, your kids made this CD for you? And you listen, and the first song is like Daydream Believer by the Monkees,
yeah.
a song you really loved as a little girl. And yep. then the it track ends, and the next one, like, what's going on? And I think
that's so funny.
I think Alex was like, because I was young, I was like 8 maybe. And I think Alex was trying to be nice about it at first, but then I was recommending so many, frankly, bullshit songs to put on the CD that he was like, we're not doing that. Just fully erasing them off the track list.
I love that.
Hey, I think she would have loved a little Flight of the Bumblebee. So.
Did you believe in Santa?
Yes, for way too long.
Okay.
Because I was once again not inquisitive at all.
Which is so interesting. I feel like in my mind, you're like a pretty inquisitive adult.
In many ways, as a kid, I was really, really smart.
Yeah.
But then in other ways, I was so, like, willfully ignorant about stuff.
True.
But my sister and I actually talk about this all the time. I feel like I stopped actually thinking that Santa existed at a reasonable age, but then so badly wanted that to not be the case that I willfully lied to myself for years.
I hear that.
But the year that I specifically remember getting a sinking feeling, and this is about I don't remember when it was exactly, but it was an appropriate age for this to happen. I think I was probably like 6 or 7, is Erin really wanted a desk for Christmas. And I knew that. And she had asked Santa for a desk for her bedroom. Mm-hmm. And on Christmas Eve, I like went to go ask my parents a question and I opened their bedroom door. And as I was opening the bedroom door, yeah, my mom,
they're building a desk.
My mom yelled, don't come in here. I opened it. They're building a desk chair. Then on Christmas morning.
Oh, okay.
Santa gave Erin a desk, but my parents gave her a chair that was from mom and dad.
I'm thinking that was quick thinking from mom and dad.
And in my brain, I was like, so definitely,
yeah,
those were both from Santa and they're covering their tracks. But then I immediately was like, no. He has to be real. My yeah. parents just knew that Santa was going to bring the desk and that's why they were doing yeah. the chair. But I remember like feeling sick on Christmas morning.
I hear you.
But then I still convinced myself Santa was real for years after that.
Yeah.
But I think that was the moment I knew it was fake. And then I just couldn't let go for too long.
Hey. Were you a Christmas snoop growing up?
What is that? Oh, no. Okay. I would actively avoid finding out what my present was.
Yeah.
Like, if I knew that my present was in a certain location, I would avoid it at all costs because I so badly wanted it to be a surprise. What about you?
I definitely wasn't. My mom, though, she is an incredibly level-headed, mature, beautiful woman. She is bad at hiding presents. But my family always did something kind of fun. When we were kids, we were always like comparing the sizes of our presents. So then my dad's side of the family, we were really into like joke wrapping presents. So like giving you a gift card in a huge box or putting a pair of pants in a tube. Like we were really into like filling things with cans, you know, we were really into that. But growing up, we had our names on the presents and we would like, get really into like comparing it. And then obviously we were the type of family where my sister would ruin Christmas and get jealous. But I mean, like I probably contributed to that environment as well. So my mom, after a while, she's like, no names on presents. So she then numbered all the presents. So,
oh my gosh, yes. My grandmother did the same thing. Oh, really? Because my mom and her siblings were the same way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Totally. But yeah, like it would be like one through, like she would do like random numbers. Like one would be like 666 and one would be 2. Yes. One would be an answer key. But the thing is, my mom was so bad about keeping track of her answer key. She would write it in a notebook. She wouldn't pull the paper out and then put the notebook back in the kitchen. And then in the answer key, oh my God, this happened to me. Like something stupid, like 5 years straight. I was like, Mom! But she would have the answer key where it was like, present 77, Lena, like crock pot. And I'd be like, fuck, you're kidding. I know you're getting a crock pot. So I like, I actually have a tough time with surprises, but I mean, I also have such a goody two shoes in my head that is like, I can't snoop because I want everything to go well anyway, but I'd be so upset. And so, and then also my mom would like fully have presents that she like hasn't wrapped yet, like next to her bed. And I would be like looking for socks and I would find the skateboard that my brother's going to get, you know, like, so my silly mom, but
Is that funny? Do you have a standout gift that you remember?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I have, one, my sweet cat, tiny girl, she was a Christmas gift.
Mm.
Yeah. So we rescued her. Have I told you her story? Her mom was hit by a car.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Isn't that awful? Yeah. And then they found her and her brother like with their mom's body. It was really sad. I know. And so we got her a couple weeks later and I got her for Christmas. This was just around Christmas. Like someone had posted, it was my Girl Scout troop leader who had found her. And she was like then fostering her and she like posted about it on Facebook and my mom was like, Lena's been wanting a cat. So we got the girl. So she's a standout gift to me. God bless her. I'm happy to have her in my family. And then my parents got me a sick ass coat rack that I still use to this day. It's in the house. It was the sickest coat rack ever. What about you?
I can think of like, I don't know if I have like this one present like really stands out above all the rest. I can think of a few that I just remember really clearly. I remember one year each of us got, like me and each of my siblings got these pillows that the pillowcase was like an animal. It's like Pillow Pets before Pillow Pets.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And mine was a horse, but it was, you know, Pillow Pets are small. This was like just a normal pillow that you'd have on a bed. Right. And the pillowcase just had like horses' hooves coming off of it.
Yes.
And
I love that.
I remember that very clearly. I remember very clearly. And this gift I wanted so bad. Did you ever play with Fisher Price little people that were just like little...
I can picture them.
Yeah, they're like little squatty, you know,
like little round dolls, heads, like basically. Triangly body.
Yeah, and they, you know, they'd be like, this one's a teacher and this one's a construction worker. And they'd have little play sets. And there was an airplane little people play set that I really wanted specifically because I like wanted to pretend the little people were going to Hawaii. My cousins at the time lived in Hawaii. I think that was, my cousins.
You're a narrative person.
Yeah. My aunt and uncle still do live in Hawaii. But like my cousins had moved to Hawaii recently and it was top of mind for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I really was like, my little people, they gotta get to Hawaii.
I love that.
And I remember very clearly getting that and being very excited.
That's awesome.
What is your favorite Christmas episode of television? Because I feel like we've talked at length in past episodes about our movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like our Christmas movies.
So true.
So now I want to know, what's a Christmas TV episode you're reaching for?
I've never seen an episode of television.
That's true about you. And I always forget yeah. that. And I feel bad for rubbing it in.
Yeah.
I'm so one. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I can't think of one. I mean, I can think of the Community one off the top of my head because we're talking about that one recently. We've talked about that recently. But I don't know. Is there
a big one for me is not regional holiday music, although that is a good one. But that's one everyone talks about because it's a parody of Glee.
Yeah.
But season 2's Community episode, Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas. Oh
my God, it's amazing.
That is like everything I want in a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And that it's one, an homage to a Christmas classic. It's an homage to Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
It has musical numbers. It's very funny. But then at its core, it's sappy and also so sad.
Yeah.
That moment with Britta when he's like, Britta, you have to go home. You don't believe in this journey. And she says, Abed, they're going to kick you out of school. That part makes me so emotional.
So emotional.
Britta bot programmed badly, wires with fraying ends.
Oh my God. I know you haven't seen The Bear.
But it's got a great Christmas episode.
Great Christmas episode. Oh my God.
Hey.
It's really upsetting. It's very good. That show is amazing.
I also am a big fan of Modern Family Christmas episode season 1, where the Claire Phil plot is that they find a cigarette burn on the couch. And so Christmas is canceled until they can find out who was smoking in their house. And then they find out that it was none of the kids and just the sun shone through an ornament weird and burned a hole. But specifically,
I remember
honestly,
that one.
Every plot in this episode is great. Then the Cam and Mitch plot is that Cam got kicked out of his caroling group and then they accidentally get the mall Santa fired because they complain that Santa isn't big enough and the guy gets fired and then they feel bad. So they invite him over to dinner to try and make up for it. But specifically the best plot in that whole episode
is so good.
I love that show. The Jay and Gloria plot where Gloria is all upset because no one in America celebrates Christmas the way they do in Colombia. And she just feels like it isn't Christmas. Mm-hmm. And like Jay is all annoying about it at the beginning. But then at the end, they do fireworks and he like pulls a prank on her and Manny because like in Colombia, they pull pranks on Christmas and it's just really sweet and nice.
Aw, that is nice.
That episode is very good.
I'd love to rewatch that show. I watched it very casually while it was on.
It's so lovely.
I can't really think of any. I have shows that I really like, but I feel like how I watch TV is like, the only thing I was watching like so consistently growing up was Glee. So I think of the Glee episodes for sure. But then like I watched Parks and Rec all through in one group sitting. Yes.
Yeah.
In college. So it didn't feel like especially seasonal to me. Like the, you know, holiday episodes didn't really stand out. And same with like I'm thinking of like the Gossip Girl ones, but I can't like remember or even like Community too, like, you know, so they didn't feel as like impactful in like their seasonalness to me, which kind of sucks. I should watch more TV as it's coming out.
I am big on just watching seasonal episodes during the season. You know, like if I want to celebrate Christmas, but I don't have 2 free hours, I'll just pick a sitcom I like and be like, I'm going to watch
that's
one of the Christmas
good.
Episodes.
That's a good idea.
Show. Yeah.
I'm even trying to think of like Buffy Christmas episodes.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
The only Buffy Christmas scene I can think of is when they're spending Christmas with Joyce, and that's not even the Christmas episode. It's a flashback.
Yeah.
That's fully from The Body is what that scene is from. Yeah. Does Buffy have a Christmas episode? Amends as the Christmas holiday approaches. Oh, that's right. I mean, this isn't really a Christmas episode, but it's season 3 when Angel has like become Angel again after being Angelus. And he's haunted by, I think it's Foley, the first evil as Jenny Calendar. And she's like, you're evil and you'll always be evil. But it's not really a super Christmassy episode.
Yeah.
Well, Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas, Lena.
Happy Christmas, Yoko.
Thank you.
Oh, Hanukkah starts the 26th in Kwanzaa as well.
Oh my gosh. Happy Hanukkah in a week and a day. That's a late Hanukkah this year.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy everything. Happy holidays,
Merry
y'all.
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah Moss, and a happy Ramakwanzadon. You know what that's a reference to?
Yes, the Animaniacs.
That is not Animaniacs, baby. That's Rudy's got the chalk, the chalk, the chalk, chalk zone. Rudy's got the chalk.
Oh. Chalk zone. See, and I only knew it was from the Animaniacs because in my mind, you told me it was from the Animaniacs. So this is bad information that has just corrupted my mind. I'm not like misremembering the Animaniacs. I just thought it wrong.
Tune in next week on Christmas Day on the first night of Hanukkah, I think. Yeah, the first night of Hanukkah, baby, when we are talking about the Glee Christmas specials. That's a very good Christmas. Extraordinary Merry Christmas. Glee Actually. And previously unaired Christmas special. Be there or get into it. Yeah. In your stocking.
Literally. I have it in with the big guy in the North Pole.
She does.
And tune in or else.
Yeah. Or See? Else. He's in a bad mood this year. I don't know what he's going to do. I'm actually nervous about it.
I'm going to try and talk him down. I want you all to be on the nice list. Yeah.
He said, I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this.
He honestly, Cole and just he looks so, he looks so interesting this year as well. Like he almost looks almost so perfect. He looks plastic.
Yeah. It's like, he's got like a little too much Botox. It's like, you look like
so
a kid
true.
Now.
And I know that his son has had some trouble at school recently, but I mean like, but he is really strict this year, y'all. And I'm nervous. It's just the plot of the Santa Claus 2.
I was like,
it's just the plot of the Santa Claus 2, bro.
I saw that movie once in theaters. As soon as you said
what?
Son, I went, okay, this isn't a bit we're doing together. She's referencing something specific. You know who's in that movie?
Scott Calvin.
Yes. Also, Juliet from Lost is the woman he marries.
You know who's also in that movie? Jake Puckerman's mom plays Mother Earth.
Oh.
And she says something so fucking funny that I can never understand. Because they're trying really hard to, I don't know, it's like the council of all the characters. And she says something that is so fucking funny. She says something like, don't look at me, I'm pre-El Nino. Oh, because he's looking for a wife. And she says, don't look at me, I'm pre-El Nino. And we have no idea what that means. We can only figure out that it's like, pre-Jesus? Like, she can't marry Santa because she's pre-El Nino? What does that mean?
El Nino is also a tropical storm. Like, El Nino is a seasonal... I don't know, but it's a seasonal tropical storm that comes through. It's called El Nino.
Maybe it's that. It makes me laugh every time I watch it. Okay. We watched all the Santa Clauses plus the television show last year. For Christmas. Me
Whoa,
and my
how
roommates.
Was that? And did that have Juliet from Lost in it?
Nah. Love you all. I hope you have a happy holiday. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to us talk about TV for an hour. That was fun. Here is a holiday kiss on your holiday forehead. If you accept it. Clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop.
Up on the housetop reindeer
that
paws.
Was the reindeer on your roof. Make sure you leave out tofu for me and gluten-free something or other for Ian on Christmas Eve.
Cash.
Cash. Oh, actually, scrap tofu.
Just leave out cash.
Please cash.
That's what
Love
I
you
want.
Guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.